this last hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and maybe in the future inshallah we can mention more on the topic of the responsibility of the Muslim man. And that is the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyatihi, فالإمام راع وهو مسؤول عن رعيته والرجل راع وهو والرجل راع في أهله وهو مسؤول عن رعيته. To the end of that hadith, and it's collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam says, all of you are shepherds and all of you are responsible for your flock. The Imam is a shepherd and he's responsible for his flock. A man is the shepherd of his house and he's responsible for his flock. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us here with this general statement that the man is responsible. And as we have questions from the sisters, they probably want the detail of the responsibility, but the Prophet ﷺ sums it up, you responsible. The man is responsible for his family, point blank. Mention whatever we like to mention, the man is responsible. Educating his children, educating his family, protecting them from criminals, protecting them from the thieves, putting them in a Muslim environment, and on and on and on and on from what we will see inshallah after the salat, that the Muslim men are responsible, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength to live up to our responsibilities. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We'll try to continue with the questions of the sisters inshallah after the salah. الحمد لله واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد the first question we have, also please address the issue of Muslims using birth control. Firstly, birth control, it was used during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which was that which was common during that time was the withdrawal method. That it was used during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that the Prophet didn't have anything against it. That whatever Allah has decreed will take place. As far as using birth control that may be harmful to yourself, Allah tells us in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Do not kill yourselves. Allah has been merciful to you. So when it comes to a birth control, if it's harmful to the health of the women or to the men, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't made it permissible for us to harm ourselves. But if there's no harm involved, then whatever Allah has decreed will take place. As I had peeked at one of the magazines recently, and they were talking about the different types of birth control, and they were saying that this one is 25%, I mean 25% chance you'll get pregnant, 15% chance you'll get pregnant. Some of them were bragging, well, we got this, if it's used correctly, to be 2.7% will get pregnant. Anyway, whatever you use, nothing can stop the decree of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. But we know the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had encouraged the believers to have a lot of children. The Prophet ﷺ encouraged the believers to have a lot of children. And the only people who don't want to have a lot of children are the people still stuck on that 2.8 children, a two-car garage, and a car or something. All right? 2.3 now, whatever it is. I understand that we should marry righteous men or women. But doesn't it help also to have someone who looks halfway decent or someone who is pleasing to the eyes? I guess this person needs to be reminded of all of the divorce in the community and how common it is, divorce has become among the Muslims. Secondly, no one said that you shouldn't have someone who looks good. We mentioned that after we mentioned you get the deen. Once the deen is intact, then you look for the beauty after that. But you want to make sure the deen is intact because you're not going to give up the deen for anything else. This is what we're saying. The Prophet ﷺ had encouraged the men that among the best women are the women, when you look at them, they please you. Their appearance is pleasing to you. So I don't know what the sister's talking about. While I agree that in Arabia there are many Islamic institutions set for the Muslim women, there has been and still is blatant disrespect for the Muslim women when she is in public, i.e. hissing at her, trying to give her your phone number, following her around, etc. Please take note this occurs even when the woman is with her husband and fully covered. This stuff is done by the criminals. No one is going to say this is the norm in Arabia except Stevie Wonder. You can't be in Arabia and think that this is the norm. During the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people were stoned to death for committing adultery. People were striped for drinking. Is someone going to tell me there's a generation better than the generation of people during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's no such thing as this thing those Jehovah Witnesses are talking about, this paradise on earth. Akhi, stop. She told me, don't tell me about no heaven after I die. It's going to be right here on this earth. How in the world are we going for that Jehovah Witness da'wah after the Quran? Ignorant wives who can't teach mature guide their children. Protecting their wealth means also the education of their wives. Yes, wa jazakallahu khairan. I like it. Oh. Excuse me, they had another question. Some brothers are unable to teach their wives about certain aspects of Islam, i.e. menses, tajweed, birth control. Please, would you advise the brothers to pay for their wives' Islamic education? Brothers, please pay for your wives' Islamic education. What is the verdict according to the scholars concerning this matter? Based on the Quran and the Sunnah, please explain to the brothers about having ignorant wives. Oh, that's how it went. To the end of what I had read in the beginning. Anyway, from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ, to the end of that ayah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, O you who believe, I command you to save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is saying that which we were stating before Salatul Maghrib from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of you, a man is the shepherd concerning his family and he's responsible for his flock. That Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, when he says save your wives from the fire, how are you going to save your wife from the fire if you don't educate her to the deen of Islam? So these general texts, everything under them are applied according to this. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are speaking in the general terms to show us that everything else we need in order to save ourselves and our families from the fire, then we have to live up to that. And of course, a part of it is educating the women. As far as the issues are concerned of educating the women to issues that the brothers themselves don't know, what can you do? Can someone say that which they don't know? I mean, if my wife asks me something, I don't know the answer. All I can say is Allahu A'lam. What can I do? If I go to someone that can answer, alhamdulillah. If not, nobody can teach that which they don't know. What about the sisters, the brothers adding, what about the sisters taking some responsibility on themselves and educating themselves before they get married? Either their walis helping them out or their fathers or whatever, and the brother I think is overlooking the point that he got himself back into when he said the father and the walis, that the men are responsible for making sure that the women are educated properly. Yours real perfect. The sisters weren't trying to push the brothers to the haram, but for the brothers who are struggling to take care of one family, not to go and take another wife. You can't have your wife already paying bills and buying food and clothes for the children and be talking about, I want another wife. Because it is not the job or responsibility of the women to be providers. Jazakallahu khairan, sister. I think that you made it clear to the brothers that they got to take care of business if they want to get married. And the brothers have informed me that many of them are taking care of business. So don't think that all of the men are like that. But on the serious note, this is all of the brothers, they should understand that if they can't provide for their families, either because of their laziness, and unfortunately, laziness has spread among the Muslim men, that if they can't provide because of their laziness, then they shouldn't even be looking for more than just that wife if they can't even provide for that. So the brothers, they have to learn to fast a little bit, even if they married, to keep down that extra desire if they can't afford it. If a man has children out of wedlock before Islam, then he becomes a Muslim and gets married to a Muslim woman, who has more rights over his money in terms of maintenance, i.e. his children or his wife? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I have thought that one of the brothers would ask this question, and I was trying my best to get someone to give me a verdict on this, and I was unable to, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yeah, what's...
My question was, what about the man who is responsible?
What about the man who is responsible? Alhamdulillah, because this is what is expected from all of the men. As far as if the man is being responsible and then the lady is not being responsible or is not living up to her duties, after the man lives up to his duty, the lady has to live up to her duties. I mean, this thing isn't because the man lives up to his responsibility, that means that now more than ever the lady should live up to her responsibility. That lady has to live up to what her Lord has commanded her to live up to, whatever that husband does. And that husband got to live up to his responsibility no matter what that lady does. You think the husband is going to meet his Lord and say, yeah, Allah, I was just disobedient to you. It's my wife's fault. You know, she is. I mean, nobody is going to be able to use this as an excuse in front of their Lord. But that each partner, they have to live up to their responsibilities in the marriage, and that many times we hear that one of them is living up to their responsibilities and the other isn't. I don't want to encourage someone to be divorced, but really, sometimes the divorce is necessary. If the situation is like that, I mean, maybe many of the divorces have taken place weren't necessary, but for certainty, some of them are necessary. I mean, if you got a wife, she's just not taking care of business, she talks back, she doesn't clean the house, she doesn't. I mean, who needs somebody like that? Salaamu alaikum, sister. I'm going to find someone who has a deen that I can be okay in. And I'm not saying this to encourage the brothers to divorce their wives, but I'm just saying that we can't sit around and complain and mope all the time that the women aren't taking care of business. And the same thing for the women. They can't just complain about the husband. I mean, if time has gone by, you admonished him, you warned him, he went to the masjid, he was encouraged, he still's not going to take care of his responsibility. What are you going to do with a no good man? Either take it or leave it.
Yesterday you had a question asked about the people who unfortunately divorced. And there were children involved in the divorce. And the woman implied that the men didn't want to take their children. What about the brothers who have the ability to take their children? But the woman said, oh, I ain't ready to give them to you right now. She married. And that daughter's of age to go with her father. And she said, I'm just not ready yet. So that daughter experiences that man and whoever else, if she divorced him, the next man still, she ain't ready for that child.
Yeah, this is going to be just like the same thing. If a man, he's divorced from his wife, the children are there. The man is responsible, alhamdulillah. He's in charge, he can take care of his children, but the wife, she doesn't want the husband to take care of the children. Even if the children are of the age where they can make the decision and they want to choose the father, and they do, the mother says, no, I'm going to keep them, mix that, or whatever, what can we do? We can't do nothing. I mean, what can you do? It ain't like, unfortunately, if we were in the Muslim country, we just go to the judge. My children are of age, they want to be with me, my wife is telling them, don't go to your father. I'm going to keep you here. You listen to me. I'm in charge. And so on and so forth. You just take it to court. Just like here. People take one another to court for this kufr. In the Muslim countries, you take people to court for Islam. They want to be against Islam. You take them to the court. The judge listens. See what's going on. Make the verdict. It's only on us that we haven't established Islam. And this is just some of the consequences of it. And Allah knows best. The brother is asking for more clarification, or just to reiterate or repeat the issue where the man marries a lady who already has children.
No. They have children together. They divorce. This lady remarries another man. That man's responsibility
for his children.
For his children.
Because
she follows as to what that second marriage has been taken.
All right, I don't understand that, but I understand one thing: the man has to provide for his children wherever they are. No difference of opinion. No disagreement. Only one fatwa. Go to the deviants or whoever. Everybody's going to say that a man has to provide for his children. And it's compulsory for the men to provide for their children.
Earlier you were talking about the environment between a community or Islamic environment. How is important it? Is it for us to start living at least on the same block, in the same complex, living right here on Prospect Street in my apartment?
The brother is making a suggestion, and we made this suggestion quite a few times, and inshallah, in its place, and that is that all of the Muslim men, they should be looking at their leases and looking at where they live, and to at least try to make an attempt to start moving together and living together so we can start this Muslim community or establish a Muslim community, because it seems that people think a Muslim community is going to fly out of the sky or if you establish some business or something, that the Muslims, because we have a business and we make a lot of money, then we're going to have a Muslim community or something. And no Muslim community coming from somebody's business. You get set up a business, you make some money, there's your Muslim community. No, his Muslim community doesn't happen like that. The people have to do what the Prophet ﷺ told us to do. You go live together. The Prophet ﷺ was waiting for the verdict from Allah ta'ala, show us the land where all of us are going to go, and we just want to establish Islam, because the kuffar won't let us practice Islam in Mecca. Allah ta'ala described it for them. When those people came from Medina, they accepted it. Where you from? Describe it. That's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear to us where the land of Hijra is. It's right there. Everybody go. Everybody packed their bags and went. Little by little, so over a period of time, everybody eventually moved to one area, and then they was in charge. We have to do the same thing here. I mean, we have masjids, alhamdulillah, in America. Now, I mean, it's already set. Where's the land of Hijra inside America, if it's proper to say that, to wherever the masjids are. Move near the masjid. And the Muslims should just move near the masjid until they get the numbers where they say that's the Muslim community. I mean, the Christians, they build churches in their neighborhood to satisfy them. We're supposed to have our masjid in our neighborhood. Except that we don't want to leave our neighborhoods and go to the neighborhoods of the masjid. So the brother is just encouraging that we should start looking at where we live and start really considering moving near the masjid. Moving near the masjid, whatever masjid that the people go to, they should move near that masjid so that the Muslims could establish the Muslim communities around the masjid the way they did during the time of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. He established his masjid, and whoever has visited the masjid of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they saw his houses right there. And that everybody's house was around the masjid. And that's how the Muslims have established their communities around their places of worship. So the Muslim men, we really have to look at living near the masjid. Yes. And the brothers, the brother is asking the example: a man's married to a lady. A lady had a child from Jahiliyyah. She accepted Islam. She's married with a Muslim. The child is Muslim. The child wants to go live with the kafir parent, the father. What does the new husband do? The new husband tells the boy, Islam is the truth, don't go live with that kafir. Islam's the truth, don't go live with that kafir. I mean, what else are you going to do? Tell the mother, I mean, the brother says, suppose he still wants to go. I forgot the ayah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah to Yunus, verse number 99, أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Are you going to force the people until they become believers? Nobody going to make nobody no believer. Akhi, the truth is clear from falsehood, as Allah tells us, لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. There's no compulsion in this deen. The truth has been made clear from falsehood. Okay, son, you want to go to the hellfire? Go ahead. Nothing else we can do. I mean, subhanAllah. Allah ybarak feek wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillah wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.